And so if you guys would turn in your word, in your Bible, or in your phone app to Hebrews chapter 10, we're going to start in verse 32. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. You're amazing. You're wonderful. And Lord, I pray that this would come out clearly, Father. This would be not me at all, Father, but it would be your compassion and your love shining through me, Lord, and you speaking a word, your word to these people in a way that impacts them and changes their lives for eternity. Not just them, but myself included, Lord. Lord, impact us in Jesus' name. Lord, we're here to hear you and nothing else. Father, we're here to grow so that we can go and reproduce your word in our life. In Jesus' name, amen. It says, remember those earlier days. Remember those earlier days after you had received the light, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not, everyone say, do not. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Father, I pray that today, Lord, not only do you remind us about the past, what you're going to do, Father, but you speak to us and show us the future about what you're going to do as well. Father God, that you build faith in us to walk by your word. Lord God, you speak your word to us, knowing that hearing your word builds faith in our lives to be able to carry out the very word that you have spoken to us, Father. Lord God, let us realize that this life, this Christian life that you put us in, is a process. Lord God, and let us walk in that process and not try to skirt around that process, Father, but be faithful in the moment that you've placed us in right now so that you can do whatever it takes to develop in us the character necessary to carry the call. Father, I thank you that we are all in your process. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, you know what? I love that verse because right at the very beginning it says, remember. Remember what God did in you. Remember the confidence that you once had. Remember the things that happened. Isn't it like that? Remember when you first got saved, when you first came to Jesus, man. You were ready to charge hell with the water pistol. It was awesome. You had a lot of confidence. You were ready just to go and take it for Jesus. But a lot of times we lose that passion. Why? What happened? I want you to know, don't throw away your confidence. Amen. It will be richly rewarded. Verse 36, you need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. Verse 37, for in just a little while, he who is coming will come and not delay. And verse 38, but my righteous one will live by faith. We're going to stop right there. We'll get to the rest of the verse in just a minute. We're going to stop right there. But my righteous one will live by faith. That's interesting. Like, we understand because, you know, we go to this church and we hear preached all the time, we're righteous, not because of what we do, but because of what Jesus has done for us, right? So we're righteous by faith in what he's done. And it says, the righteous one will live by faith. Therefore, faith is a result. Living by faith is a result of righteousness. Understanding our standing with him results in us living by faith. But then it also says in James, it says, faith without works is... Let me hear you again. Faith without works is... Right. So we don't do works in order to show that we're righteous. No, we don't do that at all. And we don't do works in order to build our faith, but works is a result of faith. Yes. It naturally happens. So we have faith, yes, we have faith, but that's not enough. Because it's not just about having faith. Because when you have faith, it is shown in works. It's a natural result. And if you don't have works, that shows that you don't really have faith.
Amen.
And if you don't have faith, that shows that you have forgotten that you're righteous in right standing with Him. See, faith is a result of relationship.
Yes.
Faith is a result of relationship with Him. Why? Why do I say that? Why do I say faith is a result of relationship? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So in order to have faith, you have to be able to hear His word, which means you know His voice, which means you're listening to Him daily. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Interesting. It doesn't say faith comes by reading. You can read this Bible all that you want, and if you aren't listening to the word, to Christ speak to you through these words, then all you're doing is building your own ego by knowledge and not having His Spirit speak to your spirit and speak life. You can hear me speak all that you want because you came to church to check it off of a Sunday list and hear me and hear some really cool one-liners or whatever it is and just have it build your knowledge and build your ego, but never put yourself in a posture to hear the Holy Spirit speak to you today. And if you're not listening to the Holy Spirit speak through me, then it's not building your faith, it's just building your knowledge and your ego. So how do we approach this? How do we grow in our faith? Man, every time that we sit down to read His word, we say, God, I can't. Man, I know I can read a couple of chapters of this and feel better about my daily, you know, daily study or whatever. But I can't grow because of my own effort there. I can't grow because of my own reading. No, God, I need You. Father, I need You to speak to me as I read Your word. Father, I need You to grow this inside of me. Help me to hear You because I know I need to hear You to grow in faith. And then you begin to read, trusting anyone who asks, it will be given to him. He who seeks finds, right? Amen. So as you approach Him with a posture of, God, I want to hear Your voice, and you approach this word, guess what? The Holy Spirit's going to speak to you. And then all of a sudden, these words will jump off the page and you'll be like, wow. We approach life with a posture of learning and listening to the Holy Spirit. And that's how we live and grow in our faith. As you come here on a Sunday morning to hear the pastor speak, man, what would it be like if we only, because Matthew 4:4, let me tell you where I'm going, right? Because we live by faith, right? And we live by hearing His word. It's so connected. It's a relationship thing. And in Matthew 4:4, Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God, right?
Yes.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So it is vital to our life to hear God's word consistently.
Yes.
And we walk, we live by faith, not by sight. So our faith is it's vital for us to hear Him speak all of the time. Yeah. Now, what would it be like if we only heard God's voice when we came to church on a Sunday morning? Well, wait, what would it be like if we only ate food once a week on a Sunday morning? You would dry up and die, right? So why is it that sometimes we believe that, man, I'm just going to hear this guy speak because I need a word because I need to hear from Jesus, from this guy. That's not how we live, guys. We live day to day hearing His voice every single day. And really, if you're doing that, then the Holy Spirit's been speaking to you probably in line with what the message is going on Sunday anyway. So what you hear on Sunday morning isn't just something out of the blue. No, it's God confirming what the Holy Spirit's already been speaking to you.
Amen.
And you're like, wow, this is awesome. God's been speaking to me because I've been putting myself every single day and every single moment in a posture to hear His voice when I'm reading this word, when I'm listening to the music, when I'm coming on Sunday morning, and it's just all confirmation of what God's doing, and He's constantly building your faith because He's constantly speaking to you. Amen?
Yes.
You know, I got a question. What is, I mean, because we've been talking about faith, and we've talked about how important it is, right? We've talked about, man, it's vital to our life. We've talked a lot about faith, but my question is, what exactly is faith? Because, I mean, if we're going to discuss it and we're going to think about it, then, man, we really need to understand the definition of faith. And a couple years ago, I came up with a personal definition just on all my studies. Is faith is believing something so much that you're willing to do something about it in the here and now.
Yes.
Believing something with every piece of your being that you're willing to take action. Why? Because faith without works is dead, right? And then my buddy, his name's Jake Korn, and I'll reference him. It'll make him happy. He came up probably with a better definition. He says faith is current action based on future expectation. Right? So faith is current action based on future expectation. And those are really good verses, but let's go to the Bible and let's see what the Bible says faith is. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. And it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Now, the King James Version, if you have that, it says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And the Darby translation, which is another version written like back in 1890, but I really like what it says, very similar to the King James Version. It says faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm going to review something that I spoke about 2 months ago. And if this is just review for you, that's good. It's going to drive it down home. What in the world does all of that mean? What does it mean that faith is the substantiating of things hoped for, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things hoped for? Well, let me explain. You see, we live in this world. We live by our five senses, right? Like, how many senses we have? Five, right? We have our hearing, we have our smelling, we have our seeing, we have our tasting, and we have our touching, right? That is how we live. That is how we feel. That's how we get around. That is fact, right? Okay, so this man right here sitting in this chair, I can feel him, I can see him, I can smell him. It's okay, brother. I'm not going to taste him. That's just weird. I can hear him, right? It's fact that he is sitting right here. However, it's just temporary natural fact, right? Because eventually he's going to get up and move. The chair that he's sitting on eventually one day will be burned. It's fact, yes, but it's temporary natural fact. Now, what about God's word? See, God's word is supernatural, eternal fact, right? Because when God speaks, it has to happen. Look in verse 3, Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So what is seen was not made out of what is visible. So God spoke supernaturally, and his word came forth. And by his own faith and his own word, what was supernatural became natural. And now we can see it and feel it and touch it. His creation. Make sense? So God's word is eternal fact. But not only that, see, God is a creator and he created you in his image. And so he created you with the same power because he created something called faith. So faith is the substantiating, which means making substance, making reality of that which is supernatural to the natural. It's exactly what God did in the beginning, right? So by faith then, and follow me here, because I'm going to explain it all by an illustration, the last half of the message. By faith then, we take what God has spoken, we take the supernatural, eternal fact, and by faith, we believe it so much that we act on it in the here and now, and it becomes reality, it becomes natural fact now. Does that make sense? So faith is the substantiating, it's making substance, it's making reality of the things that God has spoken, the supernatural fact, and making it reality here now in our lives. You guys follow me? So doesn't Jesus say, if you'll have faith as small as a mustard seed, right, you'll be able to say to that mountain, move, and that mountain itself will be picked up and be thrown into the sea. Remember? Amen. That's what Jesus has spoken to us. Now, I have a question for you. Does that mean that we can just have faith in anything and faith in whatever we want and say, man, you know what? I'm going to believe and I'm going to have faith and boom, it's going to happen, because Jesus said, if I have enough faith, it's just going to happen. I can say to any mountain that I want to, be thrown up and go into the sea, and it's going to happen. I can say, man, I think I need a Lamborghini, so I'm going to have faith, and boom, all of a sudden I'm going to have a Lamborghini. Is that what that means? No, that's called superstition. That's magic. That's saying some incantation. That's junk. That's not faith. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So our faith, what we speak and what we substantiate, what we make reality from the supernatural, is not based on anything that we come up with ourselves, but we only speak as we hear God speak.
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
And so as we hear God's word, we speak it in partnership with him, and what he has spoken comes into existence in the here and now. Even Jesus says, John chapter 12, verse 49, that he didn't say, and he doesn't say anything unless he hears the Father speaking it. So Jesus didn't do anything unless he saw the Father doing it, and he didn't say anything unless he heard the Father speaking it. And we are to live our lives in the very same way, with our eyes, our current action, based on the future expectation of God's eternal fact, of his word, of what he has spoken. Let me give you an example. You know what? I heard God's word. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've heard God's word. And God, I mean, I heard him speak. He spoke to me by his word, because God speaks through his word. God speaks through his church, through people. God speaks in prayer. God speaks through circumstances. And a lot of times he confirms all of it through multiple different ways. And I heard God's word and it was confirmed. I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I heard God's word. And God told me that I have a future and a destiny that is somewhere outside of that door. And so God told me these things, and he also told me, gave me very specific, clear direction that it's for me to walk straight forward toward my destiny. And I can't veer to the right, and I can't veer to the left. I have to walk to God's word, what he has spoken, outside of that door, straight there. And man, I got excited because I heard God's word, man. And when you hear God's word, it builds faith, because faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ, right? So I heard his word. It built faith in my life, man. I'm excited about this new journey that he's putting me on. So man, I'm going to start in obedience. I'm going to start walking forward with my eyes based on the future expectation of his word. And I'm walking forward by faith. And you better believe I'm walking. Dadgummit, I came into a mountain. This mountain of this podium in front of me. But God spoke to me. And he spoke to me that I have a destiny, I have a purpose, and it's somewhere outside of those doors, and I see it, and I see what he said. And he spoke to me to keep walking straight. I can't go to the left and can't go to the right, but dead gone, I got this mountain of this podium right in front of me. What am I to do? So it blocks me, so I step back and I look at this mountain. And I'm thinking, man, you know what? Wouldn't it be easy? I could keep my eyes on that, but couldn't I just go around this podium real quick, you know, just go around and stay in line or get back in line as fast as I possibly can to what God has spoken? Wouldn't that be easy? I could just do that. I could just make a shortcut because, hey, there's this mountain in front of me, and God, no. God told me not to veer to the right or the left, right? He spoke a word that was super clear. So I can't do that. That would be disobedience. Well, what am I going to do about this mountain and this podium right in front of me? You know what? I got a great idea. Man, you know what? God has gifted me. I have strength. I have muscles. I have talent and ability. And in my own strength, you know what? I could move this podium right out of the way. That's logical, right? Because I can do that. Shouldn't I just pick this podium up and move it over to the side? Right? I mean, come on, that's easy. And then I just can keep walking by faith. By faith, I'm trusting in his gifts and the things that he's given me. And I'm gonna pick this podium up, put it over the side, and walk. No, because I would be acting in and of myself. God didn't speak and tell me to move the podium. He told me to walk in line with what he has said, not to veer to the right or the left. And see, I can do nothing. Jesus said these words, you can do nothing in and of yourself. So anything that I do of myself is not in line with his word. You see, the Israelites back in the day, many times they had enemies come in front of them. And sometimes they tried to defeat them by their own power. And it didn't matter how big or how small the enemy was, what happened when they tried to defeat them by their own power? They got smoked because God wants to fight our battles for me. So what do I do? Well, you know what I could do? I could see this podium in front of me, this mountain of this podium, and say, man, why would God call me there if he's going to allow some kind of a mountain of a podium in front of me, this mountain to stop me? And I take my eyes off of what he said and put my eyes on this mountain and begin to doubt. Well, he wouldn't allow this to happen. He wouldn't put this in front of me. Did God really say that I should be out there? It doesn't feel like it. I mean, I'm hitting this podium as I'm trying to walk. It doesn't feel like it. I can't go anywhere. Did God really say that? And you begin to doubt. Isn't that the same thing Adam got in trouble for? Didn't Satan come at him with doubts? When God spoke to him and told him what to do and what not to do, and Satan said, did God really say? So what do I do? I got a word for that one, the doubt. In James chapter 1, verse 8, actually verse 6. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. Because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all he does. So we don't doubt. We keep our mind and our eyes focused on the Word. And who is the Word? Jesus. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus is the Word. And Hebrews 10:38 says, what? My righteous one will walk by. My righteous one will walk by. So I get to this mountain and I don't know what to do. So what do? I pray. I go to him again because he showed me what's in front of me. But it also says that Jesus will be a light to my path and a lamp to my feet. Not only will Jesus show you what's way down the road, but Jesus will also show you the baby steps to take in order to get there. Right? So then I hit my knees. God, Lord, I know that you have given me a word that I'm supposed to be out those doors right now. I guess, I think you said right now, I don't know. You just told me to start walking towards you, not to go to the right or the left. And there's a mountain in front of me and I don't understand. Would you show me, God, would you show me what I need to do about this mountain? Because I want to follow you and I want my eyes to be on you alone. I want to walk by your power and your power alone. I want to walk in obedience to you. Father God, I trust you because the Bible says that you are faithful and he who is faithful, I can put my faith in. I know that. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to walk with you, Father. Would you please show me? And then what do? I open up his word. God, I asked him to show me. He's going to show me. Maybe he'll show me today in his word. Maybe he'll show me tomorrow in a message at church. Maybe he'll show me by prayer tonight. Maybe he'll give me a dream. I don't know, but I'm waiting and I'm listening. And I look And all of a sudden, as I'm reading in my daily Bible study, it just happens to be in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. So I start and it says, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. Okay, so the Lord's compassions for me never fail. I understand. He loves me. Okay, so I can trust him. I can trust that man, he didn't put this in front of me, but he's going to take care of it. Okay. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. God, you're faithful. So I don't have to doubt you. I don't have to doubt your word. I know if you spoke it, it has to happen because your word is eternal fact. And I know you're speaking to me right now, showing me that you're faithful. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by your word. So you're building my faith to be able to trust you. Okay, I get it, God. And I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. You're my portion. So you're my future. So you're the one that's destined to be out there. I get it. I will wait for him. Not sure what that means. 25. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. Verse 26, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. And all of a sudden, in my daily private quiet time, this verse leaps off the page. And I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, it is God speaking to me in that moment. It is good for those to wait quietly, for the one who waits quietly on the salvation of the Lord. Man, God, I get it. You want me to wait right here for you to do something about this mountain in front of me. Okay, God, I don't want to wait. I want to move it out of the way. I want to run around it, but it's not about what I want anymore. I don't walk by feeling. I walk by faith, trusting in your word, and you just spoke to me. So you're giving me the faith to follow you and to take action, because faith without works is dead. And the action that you've called me to do in this moment is to wait. God, I'm going to wait. Now remember, faith is current action based on future expectation. And my future expectation is rooted in his word, right? Amen. But what happens as I wait right here and I'm waiting and I'm choosing to praise his name, and I start singing that elevation song, I see you move, you move the mountains, and I believe I see you do it again. And I'm in my quiet place singing this song, and I open my eyes and the mountain is still there. I'm waiting, God. I've waited a day. I've waited a week. I've waited a month. I've waited a year. But the mountain is still in front of me. I don't get it. What happens when the mountain is still there? See, faith is current action based on future expectation. But a lot of times there is a gap between the present circumstance and the word, the future expectation that he said. So if faith is current action based on future expectation, then the gap between the circumstance and the expectation can cause frustration. And it's what you do in those periods of frustration that is so vitally important. Because you see, Romans chapter 5 verse 3 says, suffering produces perseverance, which produces proven character, which produces hope that doesn't disappoint. So maybe Satan put a mountain in front of you that God's going to use as part of your process of development, developing in you the character necessary to carry the call for when you are walking out there past those doors.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Because this faith walk is a process. And we can't shortcut the process. And we walk through the process by being obedient to him, not just to follow in his direction, but also to follow him in the daily footsteps. So what do we do? Let me give you an example. Let me show you what I'm talking about. I need two volunteers. You two, come here. They got voluntold. Okay, you stand right here, and I want you to know we're going to walk in a straight line very slowly, okay? Very slowly. All right, and you stand right here. Good. This man is fact. Not just any fact, he's eternal fact, right? Because God's word is eternal fact. Supernatural, it's awesome. When God speaks, it's a big deal, and we're supposed to keep our eyes on fact. Me, my name's Faith. Man, I'm supposed to keep my eyes on fact no matter what's happening. And this man is experience, right? This present circumstance. And he follows along. So here's what we do. There's a tightrope right here, and we're walking out. Hold on, wait. There's a tightrope right here, and we're walking. And fact is walking this tightrope very slowly. Go ahead. And faith, as long as I keep my eyes on fact, I'm following him just perfectly. And experience is following right along behind. But as soon as faith takes his eyes off of God's word, his fact, and turns around to look at experience, experience and faith fall off. You get it?
Yes.
So we are to keep our eyes on God's eternal fact, and as long as we do, experience will follow right along. But we're not supposed to look at experience because we don't walk by feeling. We walk by what?
Faith.
So what do we do in those seasons of frustration? Let's turn to James chapter 1. Consider it, verse 2. Consider it pure joy. Everybody say pure joy. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith, everybody say testing of your faith. Wow, okay. When you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. What's interesting right there? Is that word for perseverance is the same word for perseverance in Romans 3. And it says the testing of your faith produces perseverance in Romans 3, 5 through, Romans 5, 3 through 5 says that suffering produces perseverance. So man, the testing of your faith is the same thing as suffering, trials of many kinds. Not only that, you know what it says right here? Literally, it says stay under the trial. Let perseverance finish its work so you may be mature and complete. It says, stay under the trial until God has finished and had his perfect work inside of you. God didn't cause the mountain. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. God comes that you have life and life more abundantly. But God is using the mountain in front of you to develop in you the character necessary to be able to carry the call. So God is using that mountain in front of you to take you through the process of developing your faith so that you can be the man that or the woman that God has called you to be able to walk in the plan that he's called you to walk in. Because if you shortcut the process, then you're not going to be ready when you get there. You won't. So we stay under the trial. And we stay here until the trial has had its perfect work. So we wait and we wait and we wait. But there's going to come a point in time when the trial has had its perfect work. And when the trial has had its perfect work, that's the point in time where God speaks. And because we're listening to his voice, God speaks. And he says, mountain, move. And he says it spiritually, but we hear him because we're listening to it spiritually. And we have the faith to take what he says spiritually and to make it happen in the natural, right? So when he says, mountain, move, we're here praying, we're worshiping, we're following him. And we hear him say, mountain, move. So we pray the prayer of faith concentrated on his word. And we say, in the name of Jesus, I command, mountain, I command you to move. And God moves the mountain. So then we continue to follow in line with the word that he spoke to us, that we never let feeling change our thoughts on, so we continue following him, walking in a straight line, not veering to the left or the right, until all of a sudden, dadgummit. But this is a much smaller mountain, right? Surely I can just move this myself. Surely I can just walk around this. I mean, it's real easy to get around. Nobody's going to know. You know what? The Israelites defeated some major big armies, and then they came to some little ones and tried to do it by themselves.
That's right.
It's not for us to live this life by ourselves. We're to trust in his power and his work. We're not supposed to do things ourselves. No. Even if God just delivered you in a big mountain, maybe there's a little mountain coming right in front of you to see if you can, you'll try to do it on your own. Don't.
Wow.
Rest in him, trust him, and wait on him. He will guide you and lead you even in the little things. So that you can continue to walk by faith. Amen?
Amen?
Give me just a second. Let me get this podium back. And I got just a couple more things. This faith walk, and I'm going to read this to you. This faith walk is a journey. It's a process. And it's about character, not accomplishments. It's about who we are, not about what we do. It's about trust and not control. Those mountains, the faith walk, usually involves a crisis, that mountain in front of us. That mountain is usually involves our greatest failures. It can involve our greatest fears. Because that's how Satan's going to come against us, right? Because he wants to use your greatest failures and your greatest fears against you. But God's going to teach you how to overcome them as you wait on him, so that you can step through them and never have to deal with them again. At key points in this process, we will need other people, the church. And we will have to respond over and over to transformational moments. And if we miss it, we'll have to go back and repeat until we get it right.
Amen.
But as we keep our eyes on Jesus, the Word, and continue to walk towards him in obedience to him, we will continue to walk on this faith journey and finish well. Amen?
Amen.
Many of you know, as Dad said, God spoke to my family in September, and he said that we're to plant a church in Clearwater. Now, there were a lot of obstacles and a lot of things that God had to take care of and still has to take care of. So we didn't run as soon as God spoke and try to make it happen, because that would have been in our own power. But we waited, and we are continuing to wait on him to take care of obstacles so that we can continue to walk forward. God just took care of a big obstacle. We put an offering on the house, and the seller accepted it. It's awesome. So we're praying now that the VA, all that process will go through, and so that we'll be able to move the end of July to start real church, a church that will do whatever it takes for you, anybody connected with it, and you're connected with it because real church is really just kind of a plant of River of Life. Same DNA, right?
Amen.
Flows through Dad, flows through you guys, flows through me. Same thing. Do whatever it takes for you to know the love of Jesus and to fulfill your God-given purpose.